Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We got the Connecticut legislative session starting next week. I think we're going to try to go live Wednesday from it. And you know, I'm told, Chris Vandehoof, I've been sort of talking to about possibly doing it. I'm told that most of the legislators, you know, because we're 5:30 to 9, but a lot of legislators, you know, 9 to 10 is when they start to show up. So I got to find an extra hour of the show so everyone can get their proper sleep and not come in too early. We have a ton to talk about with Senator Ryan Fazio, who joins us now on Brian and Company. What time are you going to roll in next week? What time of the morning?
Brian, I don't think that far ahead.
Well, listen, let's go back for a second then, because when did you know? I mean, we talked so much about your race. When did you know you were going to get that next term? Like, when would you feel like you won?
It's pretty quickly because, you know, I know my district well enough that when I see precinct by precinct numbers, even though there's early voting and day of voting, that, you know, probably by 9 or 10, I knew I was going to be reelected. And it was a very close race, and it's a district that leans Democrat by a few thousand registered voters. But I work very hard and try to focus on bringing people together and working across the aisle. And voters responded to that, and I'm just so appreciative of having another 2 years to represent my district and fight for everyone across our state.
Well, you got no choice. You got to work across the aisle because of the minority sort of status, and the gap widens a little bit in the representative side. And, you know, you and Stephen come out and write this letter, and energy policy, so fascinating, stuff that I never thought would be big. Like, I never thought I'd be as interested in budgets as I am now. I mean, that stuff would put me to sleep in a heartbeat, and now, like, I yep. obsess over it. And the energy stuff is another one that I think that I never really cared and maybe enough about it, but now all this stuff going on, I think citizens are starting to pay more attention, and if they don't, they need to. So just talk a little bit about the letter that you guys put out right after Christmas.
So, you know, just for the context of your listeners, there's been an effort by the administration to expand purchases, expand supply of new renewable energy generation, offshore wind, solar, and so on. And that's the case for the other blue states in New England as well. Fortunately, Connecticut declined participating in a new offshore wind purchase. We, myself and other House and Senate Republicans, have been urging the governor not to buy, not to participate in a new offshore wind purchase, because based on our market knowledge, we believed it would probably cost $160 per megawatt hour. Compared to, say, $40, which is roughly the competitive market rate for electricity. So it would have resulted in all of us seeing our bills increase substantially to pay for that in the future. At the same time that the administration announced that they were not going to participate with Massachusetts in an offshore wind purchase, they announced that they were going to be purchasing long-term contracts for grid-scale solar and battery storage assets in Connecticut and in Maine. Unfortunately, they did not tell us any of the specifics of those contracts, especially, most importantly, the price. You know, normally, if you're producing electricity, you are kind of selling into a volatile competitive marketplace where the price goes up and goes down, but it fluctuates around, you know, from $30 to $50 per megawatt hour. A lot of the solar purchases that our state has already on the books are $100 all the way up to $300, depending on the exact type of solar asset. So I have a suspicion that this might be a purchase for a very high price, which will show up in your future public benefits once those assets go online and raise your electric bill. But maybe it's lower. Maybe it's lower. You never know.
But you want to know. You just they need.
I want to know. Yeah. Yep. Because the people have a right to know what they're going to be paying for.
You know, I'm curious. I don't understand this whole new London Pier stuff well enough. I'm trying to, but a lot of people come up to me and tell me, you know, it's kind of like nuts that they build the pier and they have this ability to put these wind turbines out in the water and blah, blah, blah. But then we back out of this deal. Are you simply anti-wind because it's ridiculously expensive, or are there other elements to it?
Exactly. You know, there's two reasons I'm concerned about offshore wind. But I tell the governor, you know, when we talk, I'm not against offshore wind. I am for reliable and affordable electricity. And so if the cost of the offshore wind developments go down, I will be the biggest cheerleader for that. I'll be celebrating harder than anyone else. The two problems right now with offshore wind are, one, that it's, you know, four times more expensive, roughly, than the wholesale market for electricity, that we buy on the competitive marketplace. But also, it's an intermittent source of electricity. So, there, according to studies, there are over 20 days of the year where offshore wind basically doesn't run or generate almost any electricity. But guess what? We still need to run our ACs, to run our electric heat, and to turn the lights on those days. And so that means that power needs to be backed up. Battery storage is just not affordable enough. That's what probably the more progressive environmentalist kind of wing of the Democratic Party wants to see. So what, in the end of the day, needs to happen is that there needs to be coal and oil-fired power plants, which are much dirtier than natural gas, which is primarily what Connecticut relies on, that get fired up in order to back that wind or solar up when the wind isn't blowing or the sun isn't shining, which is doubly expensive, but also isn't very clean by any measure. So it's kind of an own goal in many cases. So again, I want it to be a lot more affordable. That is my primary concern. There's other grid level concerns about reliability as well, though.
Well, let me just ask you real quick. We're talking with Senator Ryan Fazio here on Brian and Company. If we go live from the Capitol on Wednesday and you can join us, do you think you can? Because I don't have the time.
100%.
Okay, because I don't know if I have enough time to talk about the session priorities, because, you know, I think the energy stuff is something. I might as well just stick with it for now if we can talk to you next week about the guardrails and priorities for the session. Can we put a pin in that stuff then?
Absolutely. Okay. I'll be there.
Okay, so this Pura versus the utilities, Eversource further slashing their capital expenditures here in Connecticut. It seems like a mess. And I don't understand. I would have initially thought that, you know, regulators being tough on utilities would be a good thing and be sort of embraced, but it seems to backfire. So just give me a broad brush. Like, I don't know if you had more control over the levers. Like, what do we need to do sort of in the macro or in a general way to start fixing this problem, not only to bring our costs down, but to make this system work better?
Yeah, you know, and as a refresher for your listeners, Pura is the public utilities regulatory authority. It has enormous kind of power over regulating what electric rates are, but they do need to follow and enforce the laws. And the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution says that, according to the Supreme Court, basically says that utilities are entitled for certain investments to a certain rate of return, but it's regulated. And so the debate between this public utilities regulatory authority headed by Marissa Gillette in Connecticut and the utilities is that Pura has been unfair and kind of capricious in not ensuring a reasonable rate of return for their capital investments. Now, I think, you know, where this story begins is many years ago, where Connecticut's Pura was kind of infamous in the industry across the United States. And this isn't me talking. This is other regulators I know from around the country talking. they were infamous for kind of giving away the farm to Connecticut's utilities. And I think a lot of Connecticut residents feel that in high electric bills, high distribution costs that we all pay. Now, you know, the current chairwoman and members, you know, they've come in and they've tried to be a lot tougher on the utilities. Well, maybe some of the decisions have been on the mark and some have been missed the mark. But, you know, it's been a major cultural change in Connecticut. And, you know, it's caused some consternation. And now the utilities are saying that they're going to be cutting their capital investment in Connecticut. Well, that does mean there'll be lower expenses in the future for us all to pay. But we also need the telephone, you know, poles, the distribution wires, the substations, you know, et cetera, replaced because we need a reliable grid. So there needs to be a balance. You know, if I were, you know, in the position of the governor, I would want five smart, fair-minded, energetic, hardworking members of PURA nominated and confirmed to do the job of enforcing the law, defending consumers, making sure rates don't get out of hand, but also making sure that there's capital investment and kind of predictability for investment in the grid. Currently, there's only three people basically appointed to PURA, but the law says there should be five. I think we should follow the law or change the law, but I think the governor and the administration has an obligation to follow the law on the books. So, you know, the best I can say, and I like the chairwoman. I think, you know, I think she's a hard worker and I think she really means well for consumers. I just think, you know, the law says five members and we probably all benefit from having five smart, hardworking, energetic members who will follow the law, ensure that there's predictability in the industry, but most importantly, also defend consumers.
Hope to see you next week on Wednesday. I know you're not going to plan for it, maybe later today or Monday, but we'll hopefully be there through 10 o'clock on Wednesday. We'd love to catch up in person.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there. Let's set it up.
All right. Thank you. Senator Ryan Fazio.
Thanks, Brian. Have a great day.
You too, sir. Thank you.